Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Righteousness, instruction in righteousness. So let's turn to our key scriptures here. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. Oh, glory to God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. So we are getting instruction in righteousness. And then let's turn also to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So notice he puts the righteousness first in that list. And so righteousness is very important for us in the kingdom of God. And you can catch up, but you can always go back to the website or the iTunes podcast and listen to these messages all over and over and over again. And it's the hours and hours of teachings there as well, so we can all keep feeding on it. But here he puts righteousness first. And so righteousness is very, very, very important in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, which most of us enjoy, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Instruction in righteousness. So last week, let's recap where we were. We saw Adam and Eve sin against God and they were separated from God. They couldn't stand in the presence of God. They were totally, when God was coming, they were running away. And since then, humanity has been trying to run away from God. But Jesus came to restore unto us righteousness. We said means right standing, right standing, right standing. Our righteousness has been restored in Christ Jesus so that we can go into the presence of God. And we saw what it means for us, how we reign in life through righteousness and all that. So today, let's look at it from this angle as well. How God made us righteous. And then, the righteousness that was restored and how it plays a role in our prayer life as well. So let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let's start from 17 and then we'll read down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now here's the key scripture. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
He was made sin with our sin, and unrighteous, and that we might be righteous. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. You see, this is the issue that God faced. Adam and Eve have turned over the dominion and the authority that God gave to them to the enemy. Now, they are ashamed to stand in the presence of God. How can God bring man back to himself so man can stand in his presence unashamed and unafraid? Do it legally so that man can come back into the very presence of God. And so on the cross, Jesus, this is the good news. This is the good news. Jesus was made sin for us. We were by virtue of what Adam and Eve had done, we had the sinful nature. So he came and there was a divine exchange. He was righteous. He walked the whole earth, showed us exactly what man should be like, what the original intent of God was when he created him. Perfect fellowship with God, perfect and pleasing to the Father. But this is the key issue that he came to resolve. One of the key things that he came to solve. He was made sin with our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. How did God do it? Romans chapter 4, verse 25 gives us a clue. Romans 4, 25. It says, talking about Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification. That word justification there is translated righteousness in other places. He was raised up, other versions also put it this way, he was raised up when we were justified. So somebody had to come and pay the penalty for the sin that Adam did. And he was the one that came to pay that price. And so when he died, when he was made sin on the cross, he had to go to where we would have gone if he hadn't come. He went into hell on our behalf. And when God was satisfied, when heaven was satisfied that the demand of justice had been satisfied, Jesus was made righteous or justified. And then after he was justified, then he was raised up. And when he was raised up, then that righteousness or that justification became available to everybody. So important. These are the basics. These are the foundations that we need to know for our faith to work. For us to be able to go into his presence unashamed, unafraid. So he was raised up after the price has been paid. He wasn't raised up until then. He had been made sin. Now something has to happen to him for him to come back to the way he was before. And by so doing, once the price has been paid, then the whole redemption was made available to man. He was raised up when justification was now, when heaven was satisfied that the price has been paid. Then, when that happened, he had to, since now he's been made sin, he has to be made righteous again. He has to be made born again. He has to be go through another transformation. And so we see that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Key issue. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, that's Jesus, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory.
Notice that key word there, justified in the spirit, made righteous in the spirit, made righteous. So he had to be made righteous again when he was in hell.
1 Timothy 3:18 says the same thing, confirms the same thing. 1 Timothy 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. Oh, thank you, Lord. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, or the righteous for the unrighteous. See the exchange there. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, or made alive in the Spirit. Christ suffered for us once, the just for the unjust, or the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive. Notice the word made alive, but born again. Born, made alive by God. When he was there, when God was satisfied that the penalty had been paid, he said, enough is enough. On the third day, he raised him up. He justified him. He made him alive. And now, so that we, as this verse says, look at it carefully, that he might bring us to God. That is the objective. Bring us to God. Bring us to God. So if Jesus could go be made sin for us, go and pay the penalty for us, be justified or made righteous, and be recreated right there, then we can and go into the presence of God as if sin had never been, then glory to God. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that is exactly what happens to us. We are made righteous, the righteousness of God in Him. We are born again, and we can go into the presence of God as if there was never any sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's why He's called again and again the firstborn among the dead. The firstborn among the dead. The firstborn among... He was the first person to be made born again. And when that happened, we then could be born again as well. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Colossians 1, 18. The firstborn from among the dead. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Notice, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. If there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, there's a thirdborn. I'm not sure which born I am, but you are, I'm some born. You are also some born. Hallelujah. The firstborn from the dead. You are on that list somewhere if you are born again. And on that basis as well, anybody in the world can come and receive that as well. They have the nature of the enemy, but they can come as well. Jesus has made the world. Made the way. The way has been opened. The way has been opened, and justification or righteousness is now available. That is the heart of the gospel. No matter how wicked a human being may be, no matter how crooked the person may be, God, That person one day received Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. Instantly, they become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Their past is gone, like we read. They are new creatures. We are new creatures. New creatures, all things have passed away. Behold, there is a new creator on the scene. They are smart, a new creator, like when Adam and Eve were created without sin, without not separated from God. The righteousness of God, instantly that happens to them. That is the heart of the gospel. Hallelujah. He's able to declare us righteous on the ground of what Jesus did. There are two phases to this. Number one, God declares us righteous. Number two, we are made new creation like we saw. We are made partakers of the divine nature. We partake of the same right. We are made the righteousness of God in Him. Not our own righteousness. Forget about that. Isaiah says that our righteousness are like filthy rags. We are talking about the righteousness of Jesus. The very nature of God. The very, very, very nature of God. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we have been made the righteousness of Jesus. The righteousness of God in Christ. That is the very heart of the gospel. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm getting excited. Hallelujah. Isn't the word of God good? Amen. It is good. Says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on whom who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I heard this scripture all my life when I was growing up. But, because you have to continue to the next one. This is referring to what Adam and Eve did. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But now look at 24. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Or being made righteous freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. To demonstrate His righteousness. Because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. That is God's righteousness. That He might be just. It's the same word for righteous. That He might be righteous and the justifier of the righteousness of the one who has faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. He's saying that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is all humanity who are outside of God. But we have been justified freely by His grace. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption that is where? So what he's saying is, Jesus Christ, when he went through that process, redemption and righteousness was now made available to us all. And that righteousness is God's own righteousness. He says to demonstrate His righteousness. God has become our sponsor to be able to come to His very presence. You see, Adam and Eve did this thing. If God hadn't done anything, God would not have had any family eternally. But He assumed the penalty and sent His Son to come and pay the price. So He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith. To demonstrate His righteousness. To demonstrate
His righteousness.
God wanted to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. To demonstrate now, at the present time, his righteousness.
The day I got this, it transformed my life.
God himself is my righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Now you can go into his presence unashamed, unafraid.
You are welcome there, like we saw last week. He says he sees our face with joy.
He has become our sponsor to the very throne room of God.
You are not the old person that you used to be. No, that old creator is gone, is dead.
You are now a new creator.
I had a testimony of a certain man. He had committed murder. And I think he was sentenced to life imprisonment. And he heard about this.
He heard about the fact that he gave his life to Jesus. And then he saw this scripture. I am a new creator.
And then he started saying to himself,
the man that committed the murder is dead.
He's gone. I'm not the same. That person is dead. Oh, he's gone.
And he started saying, I am coming out of this prison. He started preaching to everybody that he could see inside.
I am a new creator. The old person is gone. It's gone. He's dead. He's gone.
I am a new creation. I am the righteousness of God now, and I'm coming out of this prison. That old person that committed the crime is gone. And people told him that, what are you talking about? You have been sentenced to life imprisonment. He said, forget about it. The old person is dead. There's a new person on the scene. I am coming out of this place. And he went for his parole, and they said, you don't come out first time when you are parole. He said, don't worry about it. The old person that committed murder is gone. I don't want to kill anybody. I don't want to commit any murder. I'm going out to preach for the Lord Jesus. And when he went to the glory of God, he was released. Hallelujah. He saw it clearly that there's a new person on the scene. And then he went out preaching for the Lord Jesus Christ and testifying for him. This is key issue. Key issue.
He himself is our righteousness.
We have been made the righteousness of God in him. And then as well, that this righteousness being justified, now we have peace with God.
That is what everybody is looking for. Having sleepless nights, or they are out of fellowship with God, or whatever the case is. Righteousness gives you peace with God.
Peace with God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Peace with God. The wall of partition has been broken down, and now we have peace with God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Therefore, having been justified by faith. So somebody came up with a very interesting thing for justify. He said, just as if I had not sinned. That's a good way to look at it. Just as if I had not sinned. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
Hey, my Lord, we have peace. And not only do we have peace, we have access.
Somebody say access.
Hallelujah.
Let's say you had access to, who can you think of? That somebody you want to meet in life. The most important person you want to meet in life. Meet somebody. You want to meet the Queen of England.
You have access. That's what he's saying.
We have access through Jesus Christ. We have access, because we have peace with God.
The wall of hostility has been broken down.
Now we have peace with God. Not only do we have peace, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
You have peace and you have access. You are good.
As we say, you are set. You don't have an issue. You have access. You have peace. And you have access and the hope of the glory of God as well. There is now no condemnation to us at all. There is now, that is the end of condemnation. That is the end of you condemning yourself. When you miss it, you still have your body and your mind to deal with. Fine, but you, by nature, you are righteous. When you miss it, you confess your sins and then you can come back to God. But the key here is, there is therefore now no condemnation to us at all. No condemnation to us at all. No condemnation to us. Romans chapter 8 verse 1. We are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. All we have to do now is learn to yield to this new nature, to this new righteousness that is in our spirit. We don't walk according to the flesh. Now we walk according to the recreated human spirit, the recreated human being. Our new nature is how now we walk. There is now no condemnation to us, because as he is, so am I, so are we in this world. 1 John chapter 4 verse 17. As he is, so are we in this world. As he is righteous, now we are the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord. As he is, so are we in this world. 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. My Lord and my God. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. You ought to say that to yourself every day. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We may have boldness when things come up. And say, as he is righteous, we are now the righteousness of God in him. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no condemnation to us. Now there is peace. Now we have access. As he is up there representing us, now we are down here representing him, taking his name, taking his authority, and reaching out to people. My Lord, as he is, so are we in this world. You wouldn't have believed it if it wasn't in the Bible, but thank God it's written there. My God, as he is, so are we in this world. That is the whole heart of redemption. He became us that we may become who he, like he is. That is the whole, as he is, so are we. He became sin for us so that we might become righteous. He partook of the sinful nature. He became sin for us that we might become righteous, so that as he is now, so are we. We may have boldness. Now you become bold. You become bold. Righteousness has been restored. It has now been restored. Fallen man, you see, it wouldn't have done man any good for just for his sins to be forgiven. No, that wouldn't have solved the issue. The nature is a sinful nature, and so man will still continue to produce that fruit. That nature has to be taken out, then he can start producing the fruit. Fallen man has no hope, and he has no right and approach to God without Jesus. His nature is enmity against God, and is not subject to the will of God unless he comes to Jesus and subjects himself to the lordship of Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus means that you are changing lordship. The word Lord means owner. You are changing ownership. Satan has been the owner of your life for a long time, but now you come to Jesus and then you change Lord. He now becomes the caretaker. He now becomes responsible for your life. Hallelujah. So let's look at this again. What does it profit us now? What is the benefit of this now to us? First James, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Now these verses will mean a lot to you. 1 Peter 3, 12. These verses will mean something to you in your prayer life. It gives you confidence now in your prayer life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. My Lord and my God, for the eyes of the Lord are on who? The righteous. His eyes are on you, and his ears are open to their prayers. My Lord, you are the righteousness of God to him, and so his ears are open to your prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It's because of the fact that he made you righteous, now his ears are open. What has my daughter got to say today to me? What has my son have to say to me? His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. His ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. And James chapter 5 verse 16 says something similar. James 5, 16. Oh, hallelujah. It says, confess your trespass to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails how much?
Much.
Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The earth produced its fruit. He's comparing us to Elijah. But notice that in the Old Testament, the righteousness was just reckoned to them. But we are actually the righteousness of God. And think about, analyze the life of Elijah a little bit. He prayed. This is the one, if you are looking at him, looking at his failures and some of the things he went through, you wouldn't talk about him in some respect, especially as a righteous man in some respect. When he was, he had just finished killing the prophet of Baal. And then Jezebel said, look, because of what you have done, if I find Elijah anywhere, I'm going to kill him. Elijah is running from a woman. Good old Elijah, who has called down fire, is running away from a woman. And in 1 Kings, he said, he goes to a place, lies under a juniper tree, and says, God, I want to die. This is way too much for me. Take me away from here. But analyze, if you wanted to die, you could have stayed where he was. That would be an easy way to die. He could have stayed where he was. He didn't have to run away and then wish that he wanted to die. Just stay where you are. You wouldn't be here right now. You'd be gone because the woman is looking for you to kill you. So you didn't think of him as somebody who, in that respect, at that time, he's going through a lot. He said, God, let's just end this right here. I didn't think of him as a righteous man. But he says he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And God is saying that your prayer, because of you are now righteous, avails much, avails much, avails much, avails much. Let me read it from the Amplified version. It even makes it clearer yet. Amplified version. It says it makes tremendous power available. How much does it avail? You see that in the Amplified. James 5:16. Let me pull it from the Amplified. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Because of that righteous nature, now your prayers avail much. The other verse that we read said, "His open ears are open to the prayer of the righteous." Hallelujah. James 5:16, the Amplified says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another, your false step, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored." The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. I think this is the new Amplified. I like the classic Amplified better. It says that the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man make tremendous power available. That's the one I was looking for. Dynamic in its working. Glory to God. Your prayer as a righteous person is dynamic, makes tremendous power available, which is dynamic in its working. Elijah prayed that there would not be rain. He literally one day went to Ahab and said, "As long as the God of heaven lives, there will be no rain except by my word." Put his keys in his pocket and he's gone. There is no rain. He shut the heavens up. Hallelujah. And when the time came, God said, "You said this, so now go and turn it around." Amen. Someone with just reckon righteousness, how much more us? He's saying that, he's comparing that to the fact that your prayer makes tremendous power, dynamic in its working. You can sit in your room, in your office, or wherever you are, and begin to call upon the God of heaven and make tremendous power available. Hallelujah. The prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Your prayer life will now take on a new meaning. He's made you the righteousness of God in Christ. You now have his nature. He says his ears are open to your prayer. And so you go there. You don't cower down. You don't go there ashamed, afraid anymore. You don't run away from his presence like Adam and Eve did. Now you say, "Thank you, Lord. You have made me righteous. You said your ears are open to my prayers. And so I come on the basis, not on my own righteousness, but the righteousness of Jesus. I come and stand there unafraid, knowing that you are my Father. You are the one that purchased me. I'm precious to you. You paid a great price." He says, "Once and for all, that I can come in the name of Jesus." Your prayer life takes on a new meaning. So I said, we can come boldly to the throne room of grace. Boldly to the throne room of grace. Hallelujah. Come there and stand there unashamed, unafraid, and make tremendous power available. She's very good at that. Miss Paula, one day she was watching the TV and she saw that there was a tornado coming into Colorado Springs. It was going to touch down on Colorado Springs. She said, "God, use me to reverse this thing." So the weather people were just there and she was watching. She said, "There's no tornado going to touch down in Colorado Springs. In Jesus' name, tornado, go back from where you came from." It's not in the plan of God. Go back from where you came from. Elijah stopped the rain. Now she's seeing tornado. Tornado, go back. You are not permitted in Colorado Springs. No tornado will touch down here. And within a couple of hours, when I came back, she said, the weather people have announced, the tornado is gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone, it's gone. Hallelujah. Standing on her righteousness. Hallelujah. The tornado is gone. It's gone. It's gone. It makes tremendous power. That tornado is going to cause people's houses to be destroyed. See all the destruction that it causes when it touches down in some places. She said, no. She stood in for the whole town. See, stand on your righteousness. The prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available dynamic in its working. In our lives, that's what righteousness may mean in our prayer life. We can go into his presence unashamed, unafraid, and stand there and fellowship with him. It wouldn't have done any good if we couldn't go back and fellowship with him. He couldn't fellowship with us. Or go back and pray to him. He walks with us. We talk with him. He talks with us. That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan. That's the whole purpose. Let me read these scriptures and then we'll pray based on that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Restored righteousness. Restored righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To your glory. Isaiah 54 and verse 14. I pray this for us today in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. In righteousness, you shall what? Be established. Be established. You shall be far from oppression, from you, for you shall not fear. So Isaiah is looking ahead. And from terror, for it shall not come near you. From terror, for it shall not come near you. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression. For you shall not fear. This morning, I declare that you are far from oppression in the name of Jesus. You are established in righteousness. And from terror, it shall not come near you. Then from verse 17, he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is from where? It's from me, says the Lord. Glory to God. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, open your mouth and condemn it. For this is your heritage, the heritage of the saints, servants of the law, and your righteousness. My Lord, I can run around this building. Say that. Your righteousness is of me. May no weapon formed against you prosper. May you be far from oppression. The oppressor is the enemy. May you be far from terror. In the name of Jesus. Because your righteousness, he is the sponsor of your righteousness. Your righteousness is of God, says the Lord. Says who? Says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray in the name of Jesus. Just thank him for his righteousness. Thank him for his righteousness. Thank him for his righteousness. He has made you righteous. Thank him, thank him, thank him, and thank him, and thank you. Lord. Thank you, O Lord. You have made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You saw us. You knew us even before we were born. And you made righteousness available to us, O God. Thank you for what it can mean in our lives, in our prayer lives, in the lives of our loved ones as we pray for them. Thank you for what it means in every area of our lives. We will not fear anymore. My Lord, when the enemy tries to bring condemnation on us, thank you that we can stand in that righteousness. My Lord and my God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, O God. You have shown us the way. You calmed the storm and you showed us how. Every storm in our lives, this morning I pray, let there be a calm. Let there be a great calm. I speak peace into our very lives, into every area of our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we are far from oppression. We walk and enjoy the benefits of what righteousness has made available to us. We thank you and we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor, O God. Thank you that you love us enough to do that for us. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Thank you that you are feeding us with instructions in righteousness. My Lord and my God. And if you are listening to this as well, and you say, I don't want to be without hope. I want to have this righteousness that you are talking about. I want to know that I can go into God's presence unashamed, unafraid, and go there with my needs. And go there and fellowship. Thank you, Lord. And be like Jesus, that as he is, I can be like that in this world. Just say this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Thank you that righteousness has been made available to me. I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm now your child. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.